Ready.
Are we ready up there?
Today I've got with me the Imam, who's been leading the New York Times Square prayer event, the one that's been going viral and sparking a ton of controversy. Go ahead and play that clip.
We want Messiah now.
Hold on, that's not the one.
We want Messiah now, we want Messiah now.
That's not the Muslim Imam.
Messiah will be here this year. I'm Israel, have no fear. Messiah will be here this year.
That's a rabbi in the very same spot singing to the crowd. What's he singing? We want Messiah now?
We want.
We want what? We want Messiah now. What is this?
We want Messiah now.
Give me the Imam. I want the Imam from the New York Takeover Times Square event.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين.
Yeah, play that.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
So what is this? Is this about faith? Is it about takeover? Or is it about asserting dominance? A so-called takeover we just keep hearing?
To be able to come here, feed people, especially if anyone is homeless, they can come here and get a free meal. You don't have to be Muslim to eat. We break bread, we share bread, and we share good vibes, and that's what's so beautiful about this event. So if you don't know what Islam is, we're here to, you know, try to lead by good example and spread the message of the Quran in the best way possible.
And then there's the other side of it. And what about the other religions gathering in the very same spot, particularly just the next day? And people chanting, we want Messiah now? What?
We don't want to wait.
What does that mean?
Hey, we want Messiah now!
Why is one event seen one way and another seen completely differently? Today, we're going to get into all of it and more. We're speaking directly with the Imam, the one who is actually leading the prayer. So you can hear firsthand what was really happening. No clips taken out of context, no assumptions, just the full picture with the man himself here on The Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. As you can see, we're here in front of the Dean Center. Inshallah, soon we'll be open. With every milestone that we complete, we're that much closer to our goal. So this is just a quick update. This Ramadan, the month where rewards are multiplied beyond measure. And as I speak to you right now, the work is still happening. The masjid is open. People are praying here. Quran is being recited here. We just witnessed a shahada, and the Dawah Center isn't even open yet. Thank you again. Just a quick update. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
This is the Dean Show.
And I'm with the Imam of the New York Times Square, what people are calling the Muslim Takeover event, taking over, praying to the God, the Creator event, feeding the poor, praying like Jesus event, whatever you want to call it. But that's what they were doing, feeding the poor, praying to God alone. And was it indeed a takeover? Where I'm here with someone called the culprit himself, one of the main people, but there's another guy behind it also, SQ, another person that we're going to have a talk with. But we have the Imam here. He is the one who was leading the prayer. He has a focus on spiritual intelligence, matters of the heart. Faisal Latif. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How you doing, Habib?
Alhamdulillah, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
So have you heard that one of the culprits?
I've never heard that one before.
No?
Yeah, usually SQ gets all the hate.
SQ, that's the main
SQ's the
culprit,
main guy, huh? Mashallah, barakallah. Allah allows him to organize it every single year. Alhamdulillah, this was the fifth year, I believe, we've
year.
Done it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's been a lot of, would you say that's an understatement, to say there's a lot of controversy over this?
Oh, so much controversy.
Yeah?
So much backlash, so much hatred, so much negative feedback. And not just from, you know, Americans. I would say an equal amount from Muslims themselves.
Mm-hmm. But hold on, you were also telling me that you had so many non-Muslims who were there. Some even accepted Islam. Some were actually on the side, just sitting there the whole time, just mesmerized.
Yeah. See, people don't realize when they are seeing the video of Tarawih in Times Square, they are not realizing how large Times Square actually is. Okay? Times Square is a massive location. So imagine you've witnessed our congregation, but there is so much space on each side. And this is just one part of the sidewalk. On one side of Times Square, not even the opposite side. Okay, so on this particular side, you have non-Muslims on this side, and you have non-Muslims on this side of the congregation, sufficient space for everyone to walk, whilst people even lining up to admire and see what's going on. They're inquisitive because whatever they're hearing, they've never necessarily heard before, and it's bringing them a level of peace that they haven't experienced.
I want to show people, if they don't know what we're talking about, let's go ahead and see you guys in action.
That's not us.
wait, this is New York. That's Times Square.
That's Times Square.
That's you guys, right?
That's not us.
Come on.
That's the people the next day. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
That's not you, right?
This is the exact area we were in. But there's far more people. Oh my gosh, they're up on the...
Look how many, there's got to be... You guys were like, what, a few hundred, 500 or something?
We must have been 1,000.
1,000? So what do you have here?
Like, this is way more than 1,000. You got... Wow, I didn't know they had artists.
Is there much more backlash now because of the takeover here?
I find it hilarious and fascinating that there was...
So this is the same spot you guys
same
are...
Same spot.
Same exact spot.
Same exact spot.
What's he saying? The Mashiach?
I heard, yep. He's calling for the Antichrist. Wow. Blatantly. We want Mashiach. Oh, wow.
The wrong video here. This right spot.
Yep.
Wrong video, right spot.
Yep.
So this is where you guys were at.
Yes. That's the exact spot we were at.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, must have happened the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day.
Okay.
And I find it fascinating that there's such a big response to what we do. However, with something like this, the playing field is not the same. The hypocrisy is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, CT, look at this takeover. Join me.
Let's see if we can actually find the right video.
I hope that's not us in any on any timeline in the multiverse. Wow, they went all out. See, that is a clear lack of care for anyone in that area.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, you can see it in the video, is a clear lack of care for any individual who is walking, any individual who is checking out Times Square. They simply cared about doing what they wanted to do.
Tell me, now, many people think that you guys are just coming there without permits. There's no planning. Mm-hmm. You're just taking over that block.
Nope.
Let's dive into that. The process.
Times Square is a very regulated area. It's a very high traffic area. And it is, you know, tourist central. Okay? In order to do anything in Times Square, you need to have permits. Not just from the city, but from the LAPD. It's LAPD. From the NYPD.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to have permissions. You also need to have insurance to even do the event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cheap. It is not cheap, subhanAllah. My fascination with the entire backlash on Tarawih in Times Square is, if someone had set up a massive circle where they were maybe doing a dance performance,
mm-hmm.
or if they were doing a singing performance, or what you just showed us, right? With the people the very next day, everyone's cool. Everyone's happy. No one's saying a single thing because that's what they expect Times Square to be for, right? But they fail to realize that Times Square is whatever, firstly, obviously, the land is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whatever Allah wants it to be for. But secondly, the people of New York and those who organize, and it is their job to organize Times Square and the activities of Times Square, whatever you try to do there, so long as you get permission, you can do it. This is not a demonstration that we did out of spite of America. It is not a demonstration that we did to say, hey, look, Muslims are taking over. That is not what Tarawih in Times Square is.
Yeah, that's we hear, well, let's get into this next clip. Mm. And you have actually somebody who's
was going to ask, I'm asking the question based off what this person in this video is stating. I want to see if your reaction, because you're the one, the imam of, we're calling you the imam of Times Square.
They're shutting down Times Square, praying with loudspeakers and shit to do what? To assert dominance. Okay? That's what they're really doing. I'm not stupid. Let's just call a spade, all right? I'm probably the only Muslim that will admit this. When they're shutting down Times Square, when they're blocking off the streets, when they're doing the Adan five times a day, it's to assert dominance. And if you niggas don't want to admit that, then I will, because you guys are liars. It's to assert dominance, it's to let people know that we're coming. And I'm here to tell you guys, the people of these Western countries have every right to resist you motherfuckers saying we're coming and we're going to take over. They have every right to resist. They really do. Because this is not a Muslim country. It's not. And I know you guys don't like hearing that shit.
Is it a Christian country?
But if you guys want to hear that shit, go to Saudi Arabia. Go to
Is America a Christian country? Is it a country? Is that what the Constitution says? Does the Constitution say that this is a Christian country? Does the Constitution say this is a country? What kind of logic is that? That it's not a Muslim country? The same things that they claim to have built this country upon, they have an issue against now. And it's very misinformed. We are not calling the call to prayer five times a day. This demonstration takes place one day out of the year, at the beginning of Ramadan, to welcome Ramadan and to show the community what it's actually about. It's a da'wah effort. It's to show people this is what Muslims are. We're not what you think we are. And that, you know, the proof of that is when non-Muslims stand on the outside of our congregation while we're praying, intrigued with what's being said, wanting to join, asking for the free Qur'ans that we're handing out, grateful for the free food that we're handing out. And on top of that, we even have people who accept Islam. This is not in any way, shape, or form to assert dominance. That is not the religion of Islam. We are not here to assert dominance, especially not through this gathering. But what we do have a problem with clearly is, why do you have a problem with us doing something so peaceful and not with what took place the next day? With the events that you just showed me, are they not asserting dominance? Are they not taking over? Because by that video, they clearly took over Times Square. They were not within boundaries. They were not within a specific perimeter that was assigned to them.
So let's talk about that perimeter and then blocking the street. So you can see, people can watch the video. So you guys are within in these barricades and you are within the assigned spot that you're supposed to be.
Yes.
So you're saying now the people that came the next day, it's like the whole street, everything is taken over. It's kind of like what they're accusing Muslims of doing, but then the next day, the particular group of people are doing. Just be consistent, though. That's the thing. Just be consistent. Consistency.
Why are you so upset and bent over the fact that Muslims prayed in Times Square, right? Oh, you forgot what happened on 9/11? You're letting them pray now in Times Square? What's the issue with what's the issue with this, but you're not having the same rhetoric of taking over with the people that took place and did their event the next day?
Let's go ahead, because you focus on eschatology also. Do you talk about the ends of times? And
Yes. And I just want to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
I would like to assume that they too, obviously, received permission and were within the boundaries of whatever it is that was assigned to them. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I doubt the city of New York would allow them to do such a thing, mm-hmm. you know, at that scale without the right permission and so on and so forth. So let's assume that. There's a hadith that everyone quotes nowadays. In response to Tarawih in Times Square, where the Prophet ﷺ said, there are seven places where you should not pray. One of those places is on the road where people are traveling. Okay, I want to go back to what I was saying initially about how large Times Square is. We're not on the road. And Times Square is...
You're not on the road.
We're not on the road. We are on the sidewalk. And Times Square itself is not just a place for people to walk. It is a place where New York puts on events and shows and so on and so forth. So that place is meant for the type of thing that we're doing.
It's meant for that.
It's meant for that.
I've seen videos of Christians also praying there.
It's meant for those types of things, whether it's what we're doing religiously or whether it's something that has to do with entertainment. Times Square is meant for those types of things. And the city looks forward to these types of things. And so for you to simply have a problem with one event that's taking place, non-Muslims and Muslims claiming that we don't have, you know, we have a problem with this, then you should have a problem with all the other events that take place.
Yeah, that seems because New York, America, multicultural, you have Chinatown, Italian town, you have all these different cultures come together. That's kind of what shines about the United States of America. And that's what the founding fathers really, you know, it's there. It's in the Treaty of Tripoli. And you also have the founding fathers who say this is not, they actually left the United Kingdom. They've fled Christian persecution, that type, right? To come here to not fall into the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. Weren't the founding fathers themselves Christians who intended to form a Christian nation?
No. No, there were, I want to be clear, there were Christians among the founders, okay? There were Christians among the founders, but those who were most influential on the founding, those who were most influential on the founding documents, wrote the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and those who were entrusted to put the system into place, like George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, what I call the key founders in my book, were not Christians.
So now you have people coming from different cultures and putting on, like you're saying, this is, I didn't know that actually. This is actually, and that kind of gives more context to everything. Yeah. Not praying in the streets, it's blocked off.
Yeah.
You got permits.
Yep.
You're feeding poor people. I don't think many of these other events where you have the alphabet soup movement, right? You have, they're probably there, they've doing their thing. You have Chinese culture, you have Hindus, you have Christians praying there. All of a sudden, it's your right to do that.
Yes.
And now Muslims are doing it, and you're actually praying to the Creator, the one God. That's it.
Yeah.
And now it's a whole controversy.
And Eddie,
asserting dominance, takeover.
If we get into religion, right? They put on a concert the next day calling for the Antichrist to come now.
We want Messiah now.
That's what their whole thing was about. Okay.
Okay.
So this is supposedly
you're talking about the group that came the next day.
Yes.
And I want to point this out. This is for educational purposes. We're not picking on any person's religion or anything, but just pointing out the hypocrisy and the double standards. Go ahead.
Right. You have an issue claiming that America is a Christian country and that there is no place for Muslims. Okay. That's what Myron is saying, that this is a predominantly Christian country. And even later on in the interview, I believe his brother says, you know, that they're asserting dominance. Okay. Myron said this is an assertive tactic, okay? So you're claiming that this is a Christian country. Cool. In this Christian country, you let them, the very next day, call for the Antichrist. That's not a Christian teaching. That is not the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him. Where's the backlash for that? They're calling for the Antichrist. You guys want Christ, and you claim to follow the teachings of Christ, peace be upon him. Yet, when the people the very next day are calling for the Antichrist to come now, you don't have a problem with that.
And that's pretty blatant and clear. You're talking about the rabbis now. You can hear that.
He's saying it. It's in his chorus.
Saying, we want Mashiach now.
Now,
Mashiach, right now, Mashiach.
Yes, and that is the Antichrist. That's not Jesus. It's coming. Wait for the drop. And it too is clearly in another language until he says that. We want Messi now.
So when you go to, for instance, if you go, it's a big difference if you go to ChatGPT or you go to, for example, the this is called uncensored AI. And if you ask, some people can do this, say, what does it mean we want Mashiach now? People who don't know this term, Mashiach, it means we want, now the response is, people who do their own research into this, it means we want the Messiah to come now. It phrases often used by the Yahud who are waiting for the Messiah to come and save them from their suffering. What do they believe will happen to Christians when the Mashiach arrives? They believe that Christians will be forced to convert to Judaism or be unalived.
No assertiveness
they
there.
They also believe that the Messiah will lead to the Yahud in a war against the Goyim. Goyim and non-Jews, and establish a Jewish world order. So this is something that's Orthodox teachings there.
That's all of us.
It's there.
We're all Goyim.
Yeah, this is there. You have also some in the Israeli newspapers where it's saying talking about how the Times Square was taken over for this event, how they took over the event. And you don't see, that's the thing, consistency, pointing out the hypocrisy for educational purposes, showing how, be consistent now. Yeah. Why is it when people, and let's go into this now, If Moses was to come back, do you think, as somebody who teaches Islam, somebody who's been practicing Islam for a long time, you comparative religion, you understand, if Moses was to come back, or Jesus, Moses especially here for this event, do you think he'd recognize this type of worship that they're doing, or these dancing, and would he approve of this, or would he be more aligned with how you guys were? Because even in the Bible, Moses also prayed the same way Muslims pray.
Moses, peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he prayed as the Muslims prayed, and he was a caller to the worship of one God. They are not calling upon one God. They're not even calling upon God. They are calling upon the Antichrist. So I do not believe that Moses, peace be upon him, would in any way, shape, or form be in favor of what they are doing. Rather, I believe, and I don't say this to be subjective, you know, because this is an event I was part of. Spiritually, from religious teachings, Moses, peace be upon him, would have been more in favor of that which we were doing. They clearly, unapologetically assert dominance, but somehow, as we do our peaceful demonstration, we're the ones doing that.
That's very interesting. So we would say that that a Muslim is one who submits their will to the will of God,
yes,
to the Creator.
Yes.
Moses, he
did the exact same thing.
So he was a Muslim,
yes,
by that definition.
Yes.
Just like he would have been a human being, but yes, at that time the word wasn't there.
Yes.
But that concept,
yep,
same thing. And in today's language, you got to find a word. Christian, no. Was he this religion? No, that one, no. Submitter to God, Muslim. Okay, yep, he was a Muslim.
Yes. And see, Muslims and Christians were both waiting for the return of Jesus, peace be upon him. They're not waiting for the return of Jesus, peace be upon him. That's not who they're waiting for.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important now when you talk, yeah, about Christian country and whatnot,
yes,
and commonalities. We, yes, love and revere Jesus. We love him. Do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus, peace be upon him. Yeah. I pray I get to, you know, meet him.
Yeah. So when we say the Messiah, that's another, yeah, thing we have in common, is that we, yes, believe he was the Messiah. Muslims believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, even the individuals who were present at Times Square trying to disturb what we were doing, I don't want to give them too much attention because they are a very, very, very small minority. Okay? I mean, there must have been a total of 3 people, you know, who actually tried to disturb. One of them was there from start to finish, right? And this is a grown man, by the way.
He was the one banging the cow horns?
He was banging a cowbell and blowing a whistle.
With the Puerto Rican flag.
With the Puerto Rican flag on his head. Yeah. Yeah, and then there was another brother who was, you know, yelling, who let the dogs out, and he was with his dogs.
Yeah.
That's it. That was his tactic, you know. They were the main ones. I don't want to give them too much attention, but the reason I'm bringing them up is because one of their claims was, this is unconstitutional. Okay, and that, if we bring that up, the very rhetoric of saying Muslims are not allowed to do this is anti-constitutional. Okay, so you've already juxtaposed your argument. Secondly, if we speak about it from a religious perspective, you claim to be saying Jesus is king, so on and so forth, but you're not going about this in the way Jesus, peace be upon him, and his teachings. That's not what you're doing. You're going according to your emotional reactions from a place of ignorance and not knowing what the truth is. Jesus, peace be upon him, did not only call for this the way they're being, and many people claim to be following the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, when they so-called protest against Muslims, but it is not the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, at all.
Were you calling to a particular country other than the United States? You see the rabbis here, they're calling, not saying America, USA, they say Israel.
I'm Israel!
Right? Were you calling to Afghanistan, Pakistan,
no,
to any other country in your
that
prayers?
That is so valid. SubhanAllah, you're right. You're right. No, we're not calling to any country. We're not calling to Saudi Arabia. We're not calling to Iran and Afghanistan or Iraq. We're not calling to these countries. We're simply calling to one God. We're calling to peace. We're calling to unity. We're calling to monotheism, you know, and truly understanding the message of God. As, you know, there's the Old Testament, there was a New Testament, and we're calling people to understand the Quran as the final testament. That's all.
Let us hear, because you're saying something in Arabic, people are not recognizing, but the people who, now they're not showing on camera, you're saying yourself, there's so many people on the side, non-Muslims,
yeah,
not yet Muslims, and they're listening, and they're, yeah, like taken away, they're like, yeah, wow, in awe,
yeah,
And that seems like people whose hearts are open.
Yeah.
Now, the Al-Fatiha, this is the opening chapter. Bismillah. You're reciting this constantly.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and recite it and then give the meaning so now people can see like they're, you're not calling to a country, yeah, to yeah, anything other than what, yes, you're saying.
Yeah, so the opening chapter begins.
This is what now the Imam of Times Square who's there, this is what you're actually reciting.
Yes.
And we got him here at the Dean's,
yes,
shows to go ahead and recite what you were reciting. That's causing so much controversy. Go ahead.
Bismillah. So, before I begin reciting, I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. I seek refuge in God from Satan, the accursed. And then I say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I begin, in the name or by the name, with the name of God, the most merciful, the most magnificent, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Okay? Loose translation. And then the first, it goes on to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise are due to God. Okay? All praise are due to God, Lord of the worlds. Next one. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. The most merciful, the most compassionate. Now, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, we can get into a more technical definition. They both mean the most merciful. Okay? But at different degrees. Next one. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. So far, all we've done is seek refuge in God and praise God. Okay? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. Ihdina as-siratal mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. That's the entire translation. Guide us to the straight path. Okay. Now, it doesn't finish like that because the straight path is subjective to what you may think, subjective to what I may think. Right. So he closes the opening chapter. God closes it with صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path of those who have earned your favor, not the path of those who have earned your wrath. Because ultimately we just want to please God.
And the entire, I just want people, really, people who are open-minded, whose hearts are open, some people who are just have diseases in their heart, no matter how much truth you give them, it's just what it is, right?
May Allah protect us.
What's the verse in the Quran? Summun bukmun umyun.
Yeah. Deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yeah, and this is a proof of itself. I mean, it's amazing how God Almighty describes such people like that.
And it is not deaf, dumb, and blind. Excuse me, deaf, dumb, and blind. It's not the physical senses. Yeah. It is the heart that is blind.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that we focus on.
So here, they're getting to hear exactly from the Imam of Times Square, who's leading the prayer, what actually is behind these words,
yeah,
what you're calling to. But the exact same thing is happening the next day, and you got people really inserting dominance, and
yeah,
they're calling to a country, America first or this one first?
Let me yeah, highlight that a little bit more. The country part, I'll answer second.
Yeah.
The first part I want to answer is the opening chapter, right?
Yeah.
If we were so-called asserting dominance, right, and saying that essentially what the people who did their demonstration the next day do, they fully will say in your face, this is the way, you know? We ourselves in the opening chapter are praying to Allah, praying to God, and glorifying Him and constantly asking Him to guide us to the straight path, what He deems as the straight path. Because this is not based off of your assumption or my assumption. It's what God deems as straight. And to be upon that straight path is a favor from God. It's not according to what you and I think, or let alone what they think. And secondly, we're in America, since they love to use that rhetoric. We're in America. So why are we constantly calling upon Israel? Why have we become the United States of Israel? Why is it that...
The United States
of Israel.
Wow.
Why have we become that? Because truthfully be told, even when you were watching, let's just speak about New York, because now we have a Muslim mayor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when those debates were going on, one of the questions that were asked, you know, to the running candidates was, you know, would you visit the Holy Land? Would you go to Israel? Would you visit Israel? And mind you, this is a debate question for them to get the role, for them to not just be a candidate, but to become mayor of New York. They're flat out being asked, would you attend Israel? And everyone is saying left and right, you know, I love Israel and I would absolutely love to visit. And so why has Israel become such a pinnacle focus of the existence of leadership in this country, to where you will go out of your way to protest against a party or a religion that is against the atrocities someone commits, whether they be religious or they be political, now with what has come out with the Epstein files, right? You have not seen a protest, a mega protest out there in DC, in New York City, against that which came out in the Epstein files. You don't see them calling out their leaders. You don't see them calling out these beloved celebrities and artists that they worship, right? They simply have kept it hush. Whereas it has been proven, they not only used young children, they committed acts of filth and sexual intimacy with them. They then further went on to kill them and then eat them. So they claim that, you know, the opposition to Israel does the, you know, far less than this. But when it is proven, and it is not mere, you know, speculation, that these things were actually done by your leaders, by your celebrities, the people you claim to look up to, you don't have a problem? You don't fill the streets with protests? You don't ask for them to be held accountable? This is different level of hypocrisy. And you see that God is clearly, clearly bringing them into the spotlight against their well wishes, and no matter how beautifully they thought their plans were put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something for the people who really think and ponder. One day, most controversial event, people praying like Moses, yeah, praying like Jesus to the one creator. We just had you go ahead and actually give the translation of what you were reciting. And then next day, calling to a country, calling for the Antichrist, the Dajjal, basically, who's going to be coming back and unaliving the Christians, if you look at it. The teaching. So where's the consistency? All we see is hypocrisy, double standards. Let's get into another documentary just came out.
Okay.
And it kind of substantiates this. And for educational purposes, I want to go ahead and point this out and get your reaction.
I've never done this on an episode before. I love that I can just sit here and react to stuff with you. It's very unfiltered.
This is Lakewood, New Jersey, home to one of the largest and fastest growing Orthodox communities in America.
Do they get permission for this?
From 6 to 10 kids per family. Ooh. Causing the community's rapid growth to spill into the neighboring towns of Jackson, Toms River, Brick, and Howe, causing non-Jewish residents to fear that their town will soon be turned into Little Jerusalem, just like Lakewood.
The tactics within this community, I would liken it to organized crime.
You're the vice chairman of the Israel Advisory Committee.
That's not coming from a Muslim.
In 2016. How did you get a relationship with the White House?
Consistency, double standards. You see what's happening in the whole controversy when people are going to Detroit and taking buses over there, people to go and disrupt the peace, to terrorize the American citizens over there in Minnesota. Calling out, again, we're against any kind of illegal activities that's going on, but you have now other communities, they talking about how Muslims are taking over Detroit and Sharia, the buzzword, but you don't hear much about this. Yeah. Consistency, that's what we're asking. Yes. What do you think about what you just saw?
I mean, if they want to settle in one area, go for it.
Go for it. But if Muslims want to settle in one area,
don't make a problem out of
Epic
Minnesota.
City now. They got, you know, Epic City the whole controversy. Now they got the governor.
Dallas.
Dallas.
Yes, yes. Yeah, if you're cool with, you know, Little Jerusalem in New Jersey, then don't give a problem to my brothers and sisters in Minnesota.
You don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, don't give me a problem with Dallas. Don't give me a problem with Michigan, you know, Dearborn. There's, you know, let the Muslims be.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, and there's, I mean, I love that the lady who spoke in that video. She was white American, and she's genuinely concerned about being a minority, you know? But even on that note of being a minority, what are your, I want to see consistencies with what the Constitution preaches alongside that which you as a citizen of this country expect, right? Those two are not coming together, because we need to call it what it is. These are your emotional expectations. Because you all of a sudden are fearing something, and you are, in fact, neglecting and disregarding that which the Constitution is built upon. Freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and it's a problem when everyone else does it, you know? And you know why I think this is even bigger, and why they've even, for decades, have caused a problem against Islam is because from an individual perspective, right, from an individualistic perspective, as an American, I want people who are watching this to forget the entire Tarawih and Times Square and all that for a second, right? I want them to focus on themselves. Why is it that certain events are allowed, for example, by the Jewish community, that happened the very next day after Tarawih in Times Square, but anytime a Muslim tries to do anything good, right, even if it's peaceful, and usually they are completely peaceful, right, such as the demonstration that we did, that's a religious demonstration, I want to highlight that, right? Why is there a problem as opposed to the other individuals? Because Islam aims to come into your life to better your individual life. Islam very directly goes against the multi-billion dollar industries that have been created that this country thrives upon, such as pornography.
There's no imams that are behind Pornhub or any of that.
Right? There's no imams, but there are Jewish rabbis. There are Jewish rabbis behind pornography, sex toys, alcohol, prostitution. Obviously, that's a bit more hush, right? What else? All these filthy things that they're
actually destroying society.
Yeah,
which are actually helping to facilitate because of the teachings. Now, again, this is something that's very well known for people who study this. Is that to and there's one clip if you see Netan Shaitan when he is approached by a rabbi, he said, yeah, when are you going to facilitate,
yes, what was his name,
the coming of Mashiach?
And when the Messiah dies, his soul transmigrates from one body to another. And so they believe this Lubavitcher rabbi who died in 1994, he was the Messiah potentially. He had a meeting with Netanyahu and he told Netanyahu, you're not doing enough to bring about the Messiah. You're not doing enough to bring about the Messianic age.
He's died now.
He's one of the famous rabbis.
Yes. So
not with any good, obviously, because the thing is to facilitate as much evil. So some claim now that while you have certain people, religious figures who are responsible mm-hmm. for Pornhub and mm-hmm. and all these other vices that are destroying societies to yes. facilitate this, when actually, you know, one of the teachings of the last and final message, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, it's amazing. He said, look, if you were to see the day of judgment coming tomorrow, hurry, plant a seed, right?
Wow. Plant right? a seed for that tree. Like, don't just do it. Do that good act.
Yeah, it's a good act, right?
Yes, yes.
So we're not trying to orchestrate or to engineer prophecies, you know, things of chaos in the world. We're here to make the world a better place.
I'm glad that you brought that up about, you know, Netan Shaitan. Because if he, for those of who are watching, if they believe there's absolutely no correlation between maybe that which is taking place in New York, right? The day after our event, and whatever it is that Israel is trying to accomplish, let them see that clip. And I believe in your episode with Ahmed, you guys discussed that clip.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he reminded me of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't need to get into it, but clearly Netanyahu himself is being called upon from his leader to say, you're not doing enough to bring about the coming of the Antichrist. And this, I believe, was recorded in 1990. We're in 2026. Mm-hmm. 19, back all the way then.
Let's go to another clip here. So I want people as we watch this to think, now imagine you're in Detroit or you're in another city and you got Muslim police. Just imagine Muslim police.
And we got multiple calls, same reason why PD got calls.
Okay.
So that's it, we're just gonna follow you around. We're gonna let everybody know that they don't have to talk to you.
With the Shamrin police on our back, it felt like we were being policed by a secondary form of law enforcement.
Oh, you didn't know about this.
I didn't know about this.
The interest of the community. And speaking of double standards, let's talk about politics.
I firmly believe that the tactics within this community, I would liken it to organized crime.
Wow.
We have an ultra-Orthodox person as our council president. You know, you can't think that there's not going to be things happening and rules and laws created to make his community stronger and better.
And I want to just make a disclaimer because a Muslim, because a lot of times this term is weaponized, mm-hmm. a Muslim cannot be anti just somebody because they're a particular religion. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We're not anti. Is that correct?
We are not hate anti.
Either way, if we were, we wouldn't be saving the people from the Nazis when they were coming.
Yes.
Hiding them in basements. Yes. You had imams of different countries in Bosnia, France, Albania, yes, forging documents, you know, to protect them.
Yes.
Let's touch upon this just real briefly. Yeah. So the people, I think a lot of the people now with today, the youth, they've forgotten this, that they're indebted to Muslims who actually saved. Professor David Warrenstein states, and many academics say that Islam saved the jury. So if Islam saved the people, how is it teaching just to hate? We hate oppression and justice, of course.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts?
Islam is not a religion that is against any other religion. We do not say we are anti-Christians. We do not say we are anti. The video clip that you just showed me is just really blowing my mind, because God forbid the Muslims had a similar security force in America, right? They make such a big deal out of Sharia as it is. Like, they throw that word around.
But this is Sharia police. Sharia police.
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
And it's accepted. Mm-hmm. No one bats an eye when it comes to them. They've done it. All right, let them do it.
They'd have all the redneck hillbillies. They would be all in these towns with their guns, like they used to be in like Texas with the guns.
they would be on them. They would get them out of here. We don't want them. Something, you know. That's fascinating. I did not know about this, and I didn't realize that the level of inconsistency and hypocrisy was this deep. They have been allowed to have their own police force,
ambulances. Yeah,
that's fascinating.
Let's go ahead and get into this other clip here that also argues from another side of the whole prayer in Times Square, and then get your thoughts on that.
We have to move accordingly and calculate our decisions in so that we don't invoke attacks like this online from people who are already thirsty to attack Muslims and look at every single drop or every single reason to do so. Now look, if you're hell-bent about Muslims praying in Times Square more so than the war in Iran, then you're an absolute retard. There's nothing to be said anything further.
That's valid.
Like, that's not even, you know, a question. Of course, we understand there's legitimacy, or there's a hierarchy in terms of how important things are. Jeffrey Epstein and his files, the war in Iran.
Valid.
Benjamin Netanyahu being in Mar-a-Lago like 7 times since the beginning of Trump's presidency. These are all, I would say, larger issues.
I respect the brother for trying to be balanced, you know. However, this is what I call soft Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now, because he's taking the more religious approach to shoot down the effort in Times Square, let's address a few things. And I'm not going to address it just from, oh, we're doing this like this and that's why it's valid. I want to get into the religious backing of it, okay? We've already addressed how we went about doing it, okay? Permits, permission, et cetera, et cetera. Structure of Times Square, what Times Square is meant for, so on and so forth. The portion I want to focus now, I even got into the hadith that people quote, okay,
by the Prophet. The 7 places where you're not supposed to pray.
Exactly, okay? The portion I want to focus on now is he's saying that if there is a shortage of masjids, obviously there is not a shortage of masajid, not in America, and definitely not in New York, okay? So we were not praying there because there was a shortage of masjids. Secondly, we were also not praying on the street because there was a rebellion from our end towards the masajid. That's not true either. Lastly, he's saying that this would cause conflict. Is that what he said?
It would cause attacks from non-Muslims, from non-Muslims against Islam, against us. Yes.
They do that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They create narratives anyways. You know, and it is that rhetoric that has created us to become soft. Too many of us are too shy with our faith. Too many of us, excuse me, for too long did not actually demonstrate what it truly means to be a Muslim. You know, and Salah, I would say, is the pinnacle demonstration. But even in our character, you know, owning our names, the things that our religion teaches in the workplace, we've been too soft with our religion. And so a lack of knowledge breeds fear. And so if you are so concerned about the attacks themselves, it's because we have not done something to cater to the narrative against that. there's nothing to be attacked on, you know? And we constantly see those who do what they do unapologetically, because they're so confident in what they're doing, they don't get that hate. You know, they don't get those attacks from non-Muslims. Whereas if people truly understood what this country is built upon and those who are in charge, they would truly see a problem with what was taking place and what was being called upon, whether politically or religiously, the very next day. Mm-hmm. So this claim makes no sense. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be respectful of, you know, why we're praying out on the street. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else did he say? I'm trying to remember what he said.
Like the message is too packed or anything like that.
No.
And if you guys had watched my last stream, I had specifically said and laid out conditions and exceptions for a situation where the message is too packed on Jummah, which is Friday prayer, or Eid prayer, which is two times a year. And so maybe sometimes worshipers will leak onto the street or worshipers will leak onto the parking lot. And in those instances, I don't find that to be a problem individually, at least myself. And I know some people may disagree, but that's my opinion because those are one-offs. And obviously, these houses of worship cannot accommodate the amount of worshipers who are, you know, doing said worship in these places. But what I will say is the prayer in Times Square is not something that I agree with.
If someone says they disagree with it, the first thing that I ask is this a concern for the community where you're saying this from? Or is this a concern religiously and spiritually? Okay. We've addressed everything else. Let's get into the religious side a little bit. Okay. You may have a problem with Tarawih in Times Square. People overseas who are scholars may have a problem with Tarawih in Times Square. There have been, you know, clips on that as well, right? I believe it stems from a lack of understanding of how we actually did it logistically. If they are given that information, I believe their stance would drastically change. We do not live in a time of separation. We live in a time where if you're different, you're unique. And people want to know about you. People don't really fear you anymore, okay? It's a time of inclusion. If I take it back to the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his da'wah like in a time that was very intolerable, right? They were very against anything that went against the way of their forefathers. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, first, mind you, the man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who God revealed his final message to. In the beginning, it was private invitation, you know, out of a concern for safety. He was not supposed to go out and vocally call to Islam, okay? There came a point where that was lifted. Then, public invitation came forth. He went out and he would say to the people, what would you say if I said, you know, an army was behind this mountain ready to attack you? They would say, you know, you've never told a lie to us. We would say you're telling the truth, and so on and so forth. And he would say, worship one God, because a day will come where you will be judged for your actions, so on and so forth. Okay. He would even go out to the Kaaba. And in that time, the Kaaba, what people can still witness till this day, where Muslims go and pray and offer their pilgrimage. The Kaaba at that time, more or less, was a Times Square of the time. It was a place where trade took place. It was a place where people came to chill. The Prophet, peace be upon him, would go pray at the Kaaba. Public demonstration. Okay? And he did not harm anybody. He did not cause difficulty to anybody. Okay? It was a place for prayer. And he's like, I've come to pray. Cool. It was one of the things the area was known for, which is why I highlighted before, Times Square is not just a place where people walk. It is a place for events. It is a place for demonstrations. It is a place where if the correct permits and permissions are sought, you can do what you want to do.
So logically, okay, and I like how the brother, he's just being respectful and whatnot. Yes. I think he's Muslim brother also,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's nice. He has his opinion and whatnot, but somebody can make an argument also. I like what you're saying. Context is very important. So yes, if you have an opportunity, if you have events happening there, you can get a permit, you could do things legally. And if you're going to have people who are showcasing the alphabet movement, if you're going to have people showcasing all of these different Christians praying, they got their permit. So why everyone else is going to have a chance to showcase their way of life.
Yeah.
Why not showcase your way of life? What's the problem?
Well said.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
So everyone has their turn. Yes. You got your turn. No, no, we don't want to. We don't want people to think we're asserting dominance. But then the next day, someone else is asserting dominance. Yeah,
exactly.
Clearly,
exactly.
Right.
Yes.
It's very interesting. Here's something. Here, this is the preamble of the United States. It says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, family, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." Okay, so this is very interesting because here you can say that Islam, obviously, ultimate authority is to the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's ultimate authority. So now, but what is your response when you see here establish justice? You know, you could say Islam is actually more in line with this than what we see, Epstein files, no justice for the victims,
yes,
where you see tranquility for common defense. That means improve the country of the United States, totally against what certain group of people and their religious leaders are doing.
Yes.
Some of these, some of the gambling, the porn hubs,
yes,
the OnlyFans, Muslim, yeah, don't own these things.
Muslims,
nobody who's practicing Islam, you're not going to have a Muslim imam and he's going to be condemned by 100% of the Muslim world. This is something that's evil. It destroys society. From within, it's imploding because of these things. These are the things that are destroying the society to create, establish justice, to establish Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, before he was actually summoned.
Yeah.
To be a prophet.
Yes.
What was the name? Hilful Fudul.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Talk about this.
It was a treaty that was put together for the betterment of that community.
To protect those who were being oppressed, right?
Exactly.
Muslim, he wasn't even a prophet at
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. So it's fascinating.
And then what he said? He said, if that was established today,
I would be a part of
I'd be a part of it.
Yes.
So we're for justice. This is the bedrock of the Constitution.
And people don't realize this, that it's not that we're just for justice, but we are even called to seek justice and establish justice, even if it's against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Even, this is the key point, even if it's against myself, if I have done something incorrect or wrong, establish a justice against it. And that's not what's being done here.
Yeah.
In this country.
So no matter which way you go, if you really break it down, I usually often say that Muslims are more, if you really want to talk Christian, one who follows Christ, we're more Christian than the Christian because we follow Jesus more than the majority of Christians living today. We worship the same God he worshiped, pray like he prayed, Matthew 26:39. And you guys are actually doing that, praying exactly like Jesus is praying.
Yes. Right? The wife of one of my friends. The wife of one of my friends, when she became Muslim, the thing she said after learning about Islam is, "You all are more like Christ than we are."
Mm-hmm.
And then she accepted Islam.
And now we're talking about the Constitution. We broke that down.
Yes.
I mean, nothing's being done against.
My question is, what's your problem? Because we haven't done anything that's against the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, you have a problem with what the Constitution is actually calling for.
And then the hypocrisy, being consistent, double standards. Now you got another group, religious group, who are actually calling for the Mashiach, the Messiah, Antichrist, come back, goes against this whole concept of Judeo-Christian. This is a myth. This doesn't exist.
People also don't realize that on this justice topic, that's another reason we're so against interest.
Yeah.
And we're so against riba, because it is a form of injustice to those who are, you know, at the bottom of the, you know, mm-hmm. they're less fortunate, the lower class of the community. Interest keeps the poor and the wealthy to get wealthier, and that's what they've built their wealth upon.
And here, uniting, it says, ensure domestic tranquility, keep peace inside the country. This is what Muslims want.
Yes.
There's no vigilantism trying to disturb the peace. And this,
people don't realize that the things that we, as Muslims, in our teachings are against, it is not to fight society in the way where we don't gel with the American culture, okay? And furthermore, what is the American culture, right? Nowadays, American culture has become nothing more than a series of things that is detrimental to your well-being individually, or to the well-being of the family unit, or to the well-being of communities and a society at large. And so Islam is against all of these things. Mm-hmm. That's why everyone has a problem with
that. That's the problem, because now it interferes with business. It's big business. Yes. All the things that are big business now,
yes,
all called the gambling, things that are the porn, that's what's destroying society.
No morals.
And Islam is not compatible with that.
Yes, it's not.
And that's not really compatible with the original, if you want to talk about the American values, how when you go back, these things, they weren't, most of them weren't there.
Yeah, and they're not in line with the original teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, either.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are allowed nowadays in Christianity are actually the teachings of Paul.
Yeah, and at one point they tried to ban alcohol.
Yes.
They tried. They knew the yep. harm that it caused, but yep. they couldn't. But they yes. tried, because they knew it was destroying society.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and conclude here. Let's talk about, there's a lot we covered, but I think if we can go ahead and just dwell in a little bit more to kind of gear people who are seeking purpose, who are looking beyond all of the hype. But this prayer, I think this one is just, this is the opening of the Quran, and anybody can do it. Anybody can ask the Creator for guidance. If these guys are on the way, these guys I'm seeing right now praying, there's video, you got the people from, you see different colors, you even got my my brother, the Italian brother, who's with you, Sonny.
Yep.
I love it, man.
Yeah, he's standing
Italian,
next to
him. Italian,
yes.
Polish, doesn't matter. He's calling to worship of one God.
Yep.
He's somebody now who's excited about the deen, the religion,
yeah,
and this is what Islam does, and it unifies all of us together under the worship of one and only one God, the Creator. And this prayer is teaching you how to ask the Creator for guidance.
Yes.
And that's the key, right? Guidance. Humility. Is going to that.
You know, everything and anything is a favor from God, okay? Obviously, I'm not talking about the evil that we do, right, or the filth that we may indulge in, but the blessings and guidance itself and being on the path that is pleasing to God. I keep saying that is pleasing to God because society has conditioned us to please ourselves and to hyperactively be involved in self-fulfillment. But this life is constructed in a way to see, in a life where you have been given freedom of choice, so on and so forth, will you serve to the lower parts of your desires, or will you be of service and servitude to the one who created you? And in the rulings and the guidances given to us by our Creator, us being His product, He knows what is best for us and in what instances we will thrive. He knows what is most beneficial for us. He knows what's harmful to us. And so when we ask for guidance, we're asking for a balanced life that's not surrounded by the difficulties and stresses that we tend to put ourselves in. And so this life is nothing more than getting this piece of flesh, your heart, to a state of equilibrium and ultimately closeness to God. Not because it benefits God in any way. It only benefits you. And it's a blessing that God has given us the opportunity to be from among those who concern ourselves with getting closer to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's close it off now. Any other advice? Because you deal with matters of the heart, and it comes, it starts with the heart, right?
Yes.
If your heart is right, if like the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said there's a morsel of flesh in the body. If it's sound, the whole body is sound, your heart.
Yes.
So what can people do now? Again, closing with all the controversy, all of the different stereotypes and misconceptions about Islam, but they've tuned in and they're listening. What advice would you give them as we close off?
We spoke earlier that the heart tends to be deaf, dumb, and blind. And so when it's deaf, dumb, and blind, not just religiously and spiritually, but you are unable to discern in this life, in your everyday life, it's the difference between right and wrong. And if you're unable to do that, then we're a mess. So one piece of advice, one simple piece of advice is let us check our egos and our prides and make sure that we are not worshiping our ego. The moment we abide to something that is greater than ourselves, such as God's rulings and His teachings and whatever He expects of us, then we can at least say that we are not subjective. Right and wrong no longer is subjective, based on your morals or mine. Who decides who's a good person and a bad person? God does. Let's see what He says about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair.
Wayak, thank you, brother.
Pleasure, Habib.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.